We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Excellent, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt, and this is Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. And you beautiful people, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, everybody, checking us out online. We're so glad that you are here with us today. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about money, right? But let me level with you. There's no gotcha moment in this series. We're not going to have this moment where we make you feel like a guilty, selfish scumbag and then take up an offering. That's not what this is about. That is not happening in this series. In fact, we are not here to ask for any money from you. So get that fear out. We're not being self-serving. Instead, what we want to do is we want to give to you, not receive from you. Is that all right? What do y'all think about that? We want to be a church that gives to you and not is looking to receive from you. I've got that in two ways. Number one, we've got worksheets to help you conquer debt and produce wealth. It's going to take work, but we've got these sheets in the back. And on your way out, an usher is going to hand you a game plan for you to get out of debt, start building wealth. How does that sound? I want you to take it and I want you to dig into it this week, all right? And number two, we also have a free ebook that goes deeper, and you can find out how to download that through that QR code right there. Very simple. You just put like your name and address stuff and you will get access to that, all right? How about that? All right. We are not here to get more from you, or we are here to bless you. So why talk about money? What is all this about? If we're not like some kind of Ponzi scheme, we're not here to rip you off. Why talk about money? Here's why you talk about money. Money affects us all. I should get an amen on that. Money affects us all. In fact, it affects every part of our life. Does money affect your emotions? Does money affect your health? Yes. Does money affect your spirituality? Yes, it does. It actually does. Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does money affect your relationships? Yes. In fact, the number one cause of divorce is money. And does money affect the next generation? Does money affect your children and your grandchildren? Yes, money affects every part of your life. Here's some awful statistics. Let's hit you with it. U.S. consumer debt is $17.1 trillion dollars. And that's a 4% increase from the previous year. Always increasing. Credit card debt is up $110 billion in 2023. And that's the highest annual increase since 2004. I'm no financial prognosticator, but around 2004, we were headed towards a terrible recession. Just got to warn you, we don't get our spending in line. If we are so in debt, we will be headed towards the same. So if there's a $110 billion increase in 2023, that brings the total to approximately $1.13 trillion in credit card debt in America. $1.13 trillion. Average household credit card balance is $9,423 at the end of last year. Average. Somebody say, I guess the anxiety to think about that. All right. Student loan debt is $1.6 trillion. The average student loan debt is $35,000. The debt to income ratio for the median, the average U.S. household, was 107% in 2022. What that means is the median household debt exceeds the median household income by 7%. People are digging a 7% debt hole every year. 36% of people have more debt than saving. Whew. It was so good being with you today. Glad I could share y'all some hope. See you next week. Wouldn't that be terrible? Just like push pause there. Come back next week. If you make it through the week. These kind of thoughts lead people to suicide. These kind of thoughts lead people to divorce. These kind of thoughts lead people to anxiety, crippling fear. Let me talk about my problem for a while. Okay, here's my problem. This is me in 2009. I'm riding in the car in Richardson, Texas. We are around Beltline and Plano Road. My wife is next to me. We've been married not very long, just 2 years. And in the back seat is our first baby. Little William was in the back seat. And it is at this moment, on a beautiful Saturday, we're just carefree, having a good time. And then my wife says, we've got to talk about our finances. I could swear, gray clouds just went right across the sky. It was like, oh, I hated this conversation so bad. I had all kinds of emotions going through my head. I started to grab the steering wheel a little harder than before, just at odds with myself. There were emotions running through my heart and my mind. I was experiencing flight. You know, you either experience fight or flight. I dare not fight Sarah. She's a black belt. Instead, I was like, flight. I want to avoid this. Could we change the subject? Anyway, could we talk about sports? Is there anything we could, what's new on Netflix? I wanted to flight away from that. I tried to drive away from the conversation, but she was in the car with me. I experienced also shame and guilt in those moments. I experienced a feeling of inadequacy, that I wasn't enough. My efforts weren't enough. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't smart enough to get us out of this situation. In fact, I'm the one that got us into the situation. You add all this together, and as I'm driving in the car, here I am, a Christian. Here I am, a worker in God's church. And in 2009, at the corner of Beltline and Avenue K, I felt hopeless. That's my story. That's my problem. We'll get back to my problem in a second. Now let's talk about your problem, all right? You have no idea what your finances look like. You have no plan. If you do have a plan, you would need to call it the ostrich plan, because you've got your head in the dirt. Not looking around at anything. You're acting. Everything will work out somehow. That's not a plan. That's not even hope. That's wishing. Good luck. I hope you find the lamp. And you can rub that lamp. But here's where you are also. You're worried about today. You're worried about gas. You're worried about groceries. My goodness, we have to take a bank loan just to get milk these days. It's wild, right? And you're worried about that every day. You're worried about today. Somebody say today. But you're also worried about next week at the same time. Because next week you got bills due, right? Oh my goodness, we're getting near the first. We're already, it's August 11th, right? But some of you are already living on September 1st because rent's due. And so that you're constantly living, not only in today worried, but in the next week worried. And then you're worried past that. You're worried about a future that might not even happen. You've got all these anxieties about what could happen that you're not ready to fix. A housing issue, right? Your air conditioner, good Lord, let's all stop and pray for our air conditioner for a moment. What if your air conditioner went out and you had to get a new one? And so you're anxious about that. Oh my goodness, what, Lord Jesus, you go out to the car and you've never prayed so hard sometimes for your car. You're like, dear Lord, let it start today. Because you're worried about your car breaking down. I found the cause. There's this little orange light on my dashboard. Check engine light. I just took that little light bulb out of there. My car has never ran better. I can show you how to do this. Follow me for more disastrous tips and tricks. But your car, I know what it's like to go out. I had a Ford Explorer, 1998. Ford Explorer was red. It was beautiful. And it was so awesome until the day it would no longer drive forward. It would only drive backwards. I remember the anxiousness about that situation that was so terrible. So you're worried about today. You're worried about next week. You're worried about some distant future that is not yet revealed. And then, whoa, there's further future. And this stuff you don't even have the bandwidth to think about. And you are already hating me for saying retirement and your kids' education. These are things you would like to work on, but you're so busy with today. You're so busy with next week. You're so busy with some question mark future. You can't even take care of your far in the distant future. Can I tell you, the government is not going to help you retire. They are not going to be there to pick up the pieces. You have got to do something. So what you have is a lot of worry. Somebody say worry. I'm going to give you an equation. This is where you are. You are worry plus ignorance and experiencing hopelessness. Worry plus ignorance. Let me tell you, I'm not like ridiculing you. Ignorance does not mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means you don't know. There are things you don't know about. You don't know the wisdom. You don't know the next step. You don't know the best method. And you don't even know your financial numbers, right? All of that's ignorance. So you've got a lot of worry. You got a lot of ignorance. And all you have is hopelessness. Are you following me? Let me give you a new equation. Get this one today. You need to turn your worry into concern. Worry stands around and just like shakes their hands, go, oh, good, I'm worried. Concern is like, I'm focused. I'm concerned about this. This is in my eyesight. I see this problem. That's concern. And you add to your concern a plan. I could say a plan is wisdom, right? And a method. Wisdom plus a method equals a plan. And if you have that, concern plus a plan, you are suddenly hopeful. Who wants to be hopeful today? Ooh, I want you to be hopeful today. So that's my goal today. That's my goal in this series. I'm not here to beat you down. But part of the thing is that in order to be hopeful, we have to take a look into the abyss that is our debt. We have to take a look into the dark shadows of our bad relationship with money. And so we are going to go and receive concern, a plan, and we're going to be hopeful. So let's talk about plan. We feel hopeless without a plan. I felt hopeless in my story in 2009. So let's talk about a plan today. Some of y'all walked in here like, what in the world did I just walk into? I'm sorry we had this up during worship. We're not like bowing down to this today. It's not this church. I don't know. But I want to talk to you very quickly about the law of balance. There's three points to the law of balance, three laws of balance. Dear Lord, help me. All right here, the number one part of the law of balance is to have a point of reference. I might just join you out there. Constant corrections is number two. And number three, a clear objective. And if you have all those three things, you can balance anything. Right? What were those three things? Reference point. Let's keep it. Constant correction. And then what? A clear objective. All right. So I'm going to use this today. All right. Thank y'all for praying for me. You need a reference point to your finances. And that's the number one thing I'm going to talk about today. Everybody say reference point. So when I was balancing this, one of the keys to balancing anything is to find one thing to look at. Do you know what I was looking at? Did anyone see me looking out there? Never looked out there. I looked at the top of this pole the entire time. And all my focus was there. I'm not looking at Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. I'm looking right at the top. That is my reference point. We see this in cheerleading. Anybody ever see those girls and they're lifted high by those guys with the muscles? And you're like, how in the world are they standing up there? They stand up there on one hand. And then that's not enough. They put this other foot up here. And you're like, what is happening? And you're like, how do they do that? You know how they do that? They are taught to look out and find a stationary object and look at that only. It's a reference point. They don't look down. They don't look at their partner. They don't look to their left and right. Well, how is Sally doing it? Right? They look at a reference point, and that's what they look at. How about this one? You've got a tightrope walker, and they're walking on a tightrope, small little thoroughfare between two buildings. Where are they looking? They are also find a reference point in front of them. Why in front of them? Because it's where they're going. And so they look and they focus on that. Again, they are not focusing on what's behind them. They're not focusing on the crowd around them, because crowds gather when a tightrope walker walks, right? They're not focused on any of that. They found a point of reference. What is my reference point? Let me tell you what my point of reference is in life, right? Hebrews 12 and 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He is my reference point. I have found that my life is so much better when I am looking at him. There have been times I've almost lost my footing, but I looked to Jesus and I was able to keep my balance and walk on. Jesus is my reference point. If Jesus is not your reference point today, I would ask you to try him out. Try out his lessons. Try out his teachings. Look at how he went through life. Whatever problem you're going through right now, Jesus faced a similar problem. You're betrayed. You're backstabbed. Oh, Jesus has that. Someone lying about you, Jesus has that. Look at Jesus's example there. People don't understand you. Look at Jesus. That's how Jesus lived. And so now he's our reference point, and we look at him as we make our travel. Also, I look at this. It's found in Proverbs 17:24. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Proverbs 17:24. Isn't that a great verse right there? What is that telling us to do? To make wisdom our reference point. Keep wisdom in front of us. Don't get your eyes. We get our eyes on some foolish stuff, right? We look at some foolish things. So I want to tell you that Jesus is God's plan. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that wisdom is God's plan. And you need to be looking at these things as reference points. Now, that's how I go through life, and that's my reference point. But what's my reference point when it comes to money? When it comes to finances? What's my reference point? It's called spending. Somebody say spending. When I am going through life, if I want to have a positive bank account, my eyes have to constantly be on my spending. I've got to pay attention. That is my reference point, right? I'll also say it like this. You must be knowing where your money is going. Will you say that with me? You must be knowing where your money is going. At all times, your eyes are on what's going out. What am I spending? What's the amount that I'm spending? Get also an eye on that. What is your balance, right? What is my balance? How much money do I have in the account? And how much am I spending? Have you ever looked at a bank statement and said, I spent how much? And here's the worst part. I've been there. I have so been there. I have looked at banking statements and gone, what did I even buy? What was that? What did I buy at Walmart at 2 a.m.? What was I doing? Sleepwalking again. Down at Walmart. I've looked at things and gone, what did we even buy? Well, I don't remember what we bought. What in the world? Or I bought something perishable, like a Route 44 Sonic drink and a foot-long cheese and chili coney. Who knows what I'm talking about? Whoa, the blessed life. But I put it on a credit card. And lo and behold, I have been paying interest on that chili cheese coney. And that Diet Dr. Pepper with Diet Cherry. Try it out. Good. But I bought it a month ago, a year ago. And I was paying 9% on that. And what happens is we are not looking at our reference point. We're not paying any attention to our spending. So we need a reference point. Here is what I'm assigning you to do. Starting now, keep a detailed record of where your money is going, where it's going and how much is going, when you did it, okay? The date, the amount, and where, all right? If you're a married couple, this might be a place where the husband and the wife are both keeping their records. You might put initials by them. I did this one, you did this one, I did this one, dude. Not that we're like a war against who's spending less, or like there's no prize on that, but we're looking at each other's spending habits, because all this becomes more complicated when we're married, right? Single people, get out of debt now before you get married. That was good. That's real stock right there. If you really love the person that you want to marry, go get out of debt before you bring your debt into something like a marriage. I mean, that would be a gift of love to her. Can I just be honest with you? I didn't do that. I brought debt into my marriage. Surprise, you love me, right? You still love me? Sarah still loved me. So thankful for that. But we're keeping a detailed record of where your money is going. We actually have tools to help you keep a record. It's going to be in the worksheets we give you at the end of service. Everybody online, we will find a way to give you a link to download these tools as well. It's called the Track Your Spending form, and it is low tech. We're talking a pencil and a piece of paper, and keep track of your spending. You have to do this part because it's your reference point. Now, you may be saying, and you are likely saying, I don't need to do that. My bank sends me a statement at the end of the month, right? I'm going to tell you, can I speak to that for a moment? Nope, that doesn't count. Here's why. That is after the fact knowledge. You need real-time discipline in your life. You don't need, well, I messed up this month, I'll start next month. You've already shown in your diet that that's how you work on stuff. Am I just talking about myself? Maybe I'm just talking about myself. But no, we have that tendency, well, I messed up this month, I'll just start next month. No, you are right now starting to look at your stuff. And it's not the bank doing the work for you. You're going to do the hard work, right? And also, here's the problem with this. I just look at my bank statement. Here's the problem with that. That's the bank knowing where your money's going. You need to know where your money is going. You know, the bank doesn't need any of these lessons because they already know where your money is going. They're really good at it. You get me? It's us that need this lesson. We need discipline when it comes to our money. There is no substitute for you knowing where your money is going. So this keeps you from like waking up one day thousands of dollars in debt because you're managing your money today. I am preaching a sermon I wished I would have heard 20 years ago. I'm preaching a sermon I wish I would have heard 30 years ago. If you are a teenager, please listen. Please take advantage of this moment and start learning how to manage your money. Too often we need more without being able to answer what we did with what we were given. I found that sentence really convicting when I wrote it down. I was like, maybe I'll just erase this one. No, too often we need more without being able to answer what we did with what we're given. Here's an example of that. Teenager asks for money. Dad says, well, what did you do with the money I gave you? The teen says, I spent it. What does the dad say? What did you spend it on? The teen says, IDK. I need more money. What did I spend it? What a dumb question. Right? How good. Now change. You are the teen and the father's God. God, I need you to help me with these finances. Well, what are you spending your money on? I don't know. I spent it. Here I am, God. I need another miracle. I need another financial. We are praying over our finances in a way we were never meant to pray. We are out of control, asking God to give us more when we aren't even able to define what we've done with what we've been given. It's tough talk, but we got to receive that. We see this in our kids. We need to be able to see it in ourselves. Proverbs 21 and 20. In the house of the wise, say wise, are stores of choice food and oil. But a foolish man, somebody say foolish, devours all he has. All right. So what does the wise do? The wise stores. The wise saves. I would also add this, that he stores certain things. He is well aware of what's in his house. He's got choice food and oil. He's got a reference point, right? But what does the foolish do? The foolish devours all. Give me the word for that. They spend. They spend it all. They spend it. It's like they get it and it's gone immediately. Some of us feel that way with our check. Our check seems gone immediately. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've got so much more month to go. And the paycheck is already gone. The Bible speaks to this. It says the wise have stores. They have savings. The foolish, they devour. They spend with no saving. That's not me preaching. That's the Bible. And it hits us so hard. Let's receive it. So today, you've got reference point work. Just like I was looking at the top of this dollar sign pole right here, I want you to stare intently at some reference points. I've got three things in your worksheet that I want you to fill out this week. I want you to do it. There's one is called a financial overview. You need to write down all that you owe, all that you have. You need to write it down. Get a financial overview too. You need to track your actual monthly spending. This is going to require you going back a little bit, looking at what you're spending and where is it going? How much is going to entertainment? How much is going to insurance? How much is going to food? How much is going to gas? You follow it. That is your actual monthly spending. And then third, what I've already talked to you about is to track your spending. And you are going to laser focus, look at these things. You're going to carry around a piece of paper and actually write down what you're spending. Can I already tell you, you're going to start spending less because you don't want to write down what you spent. It's going to happen. This also works in your diet. You can start journaling your diet stuff. That'll help. But it is, you are already becoming accountable because you have a reference point. No more ostrich, no more head in the sand, eyes up looking forward, because this is where we're going. Who felt hope in that right now? You felt, clap your hands if you felt hope in that. Woo, I feel hopeful. Now, let me tell you, this is going to be painful and you are going to want to quit. Thank you already that no one's like walked out of the room. Thank you, for real. But I want to remind you that we're dealing with worry plus ignorance and it feels hopeless. And when you start looking at these numbers, that's what you're going to feel. You're going to feel hopeless. But I want you to remember to turn it to concern, a plan, and then you will be hopeful. I want you to learn this. Learn this. Put it deep in your heart. Here it is. Debt is slavery. Is there anybody here that likes slavery? Good. Nobody here likes slavery. Wouldn't that be terrible if someone said yes? We'd pray for you immediately. Debt is slavery. What does it say? Proverbs 22 and 7. Know this verse. The borrower is slave to the lender. Do you know that there is a credit card called MasterCard? You enjoy that one? Is that good? All right. You are literally a slave to your debt. And looking at your debt reminds you how you are not free and you will not enjoy it. But believe the process. Believe the message of Jesus and his word, okay? And for the person that maybe thinks they are free, no, this doesn't apply to me. I've got debt, but I'm as free as a bird. Let me tell you, next time you feel that way, you just tell all the people that send you bills, just tell them, I don't feel like paying this month. And see how free you feel all of a sudden. Because they know how to get money out of people, right? They will start sending you nasty letters. They will start calling you. And they will give up on calling you. They will actually pay someone else to harass you on the phone and come after you. And if that's not enough, they will take legal matters. They will pay a lawyer to levy your property because they're going to get what is theirs. And that happens like the moment you say, nah, I don't think I'll pay this bill. You are not free when you have debt. Debt is slavery. Debt is bad. And you need a plan. If you are in debt today, can we cut through all the shame and the guilt? I know what that feels like. Just push that to the side. Push it to the side and go, this is a lesson I'm learning. I'm not going to get into more debt. I'm going to get out of debt, right? When a wise plan arrives, then hope follows that. And I am praying that this week, as you look at your numbers, you will feel a God hope in your life as you're charting a new course. Anybody remember my problem? I was driving in Richardson. Remember that? Let's go back to that story. I remember feeling terrible. And my wife said, let's drive to Half Price Books. And I'm like, that's awesome. I feel like spending money. It's so good. Buy something. We took some cash that we had. And we went and we bought a book called Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And we spent hours looking at this, coming up with a plan. We started by taking a financial assessment in that book. We needed a plan. We didn't come up with our own. We sought out wisdom. Well, here's the bomb drop. Here it comes. When we took that assessment, we realized we were $25,000 in debt. I'm just being real with you, being transparent with you. I've got the moral authority to talk about what I'm talking about right now. Do you know how hopeless that felt when we saw that number with a brand new baby, a broken Ford Explorer that only drives backwards? And I'm working in ministry in a little storefront church plant at the time. We had medical bills. We had an extended NICU stay with our first child. Large medical bills, even after insurance. We didn't have insurance. It would have cost well over $1 million. So we're so thankful for insurance. But medical bills plus now a car loan plus credit cards. It ended up $25,000. But we had, for the first time, a plan. And we started looking at our spending, and then we learned something called a debt snowball. This is in the ebook. It's explained in the ebook. It's also explained in the worksheet back there. We learned how to build a debt snowball where we aggressively paid off one bill, while paying the minimum on everything. We aggressively said no to all other spending. And we threw everything at the minimum except one bill, and we threw everything we had at that. Dave Ramsey calls that gazelle intensity. He likens it to a gazelle running from a lion. You run with all your might because survival depends on it. And we were able to pay off that first credit card bill, and it felt so good. And then we rolled that debt snowball onto the next credit card, and we started throwing all we could at our debt. Check that handout for debt snowball instructions. Oh, it's so important. Now, we actually worked out the math for when we would be debt-free. If we live according to this problem and like the world doesn't explode and the next car is not able to drive or turn or something weird, we will be able to get out of debt, our $25,000 debt, in 2.5 years. Now, that was like yes and no. Part of that was like, well, I can see light at the end of the tunnel. But 2.5 years, we were eating rice and beans. No Route 44s at Sonic. But now here's what I want to tell you today. I've looked forward to telling you this all week. The math said it was going to take how long? 2.5 years. With God's help, it took 11 months. What happened? Sarah's really good at math, right? She didn't get the numbers wrong. If I were doing the math, forget about it. The math doesn't math here. I don't know exactly. If you ask me and Sarah, we do not know how it went from 2.5 years to being done in 11 months. Here's what I want to tell you strongly, that if you start making wise choices, God blesses you. If you start taking responsibility, God blesses you. If you start saving, God blesses you. If you start valuing what you have instead of always desiring something else, God blesses you. I'm telling you, God will work miracles in your finances, and you won't even be able to explain it. But God will do that. And I have seen God do this so often that I'm going to just go ahead and guarantee you something today. By faith, I guarantee you that if you will commit today, God will bless you in ways you can't explain with pen and paper and calculator. God will do it because God likes to see you make wise choices. He likes to see you not be greedy. He likes to see you not be consumed by materialism. He will bless you out of the hole that you dug yourself. So who wants a pay raise? Raise your hand if you would like a pay raise. Well, Pastor, that does sound good to me. Are you handing those out today? Listen, it was so amazing because we built this big snowball, and by the time we got to the last bill, that snowball was pretty big. It was every minimum plus everything we could muster in one big snowball, and it just grew. And when we paid off that last bill, we went, say, the next month, we were like, wait, we get to keep that snowball? We don't have to send that big thing. It's now ours next month and the next month. And then we could roll that snowball into something like savings, future planning. We met with people to talk about our retirement. We met to talk to people about putting money away for our kids' future. When you pay off your debt, it's like you get a pay raise because you get to keep what you've already earned and you will feel free. You'll feel free. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I'm really close to the end here. I really want us to have a spiritual moment today. Money is a weird thing. Money has weird vibes about it. But guess what? When we start affecting our heart correctly, God starts to bless us. And I believe we're going to have a wonderful time with the Lord in the last few moments of this service today. Who's down for it? Good. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. God gave us the ability to produce wealth. This confirms his covenant. Another way to say that is it's his promise. Everything he promises, it's confirmed by the giftings that he's given us, including to produce wealth. God has given you the ability to produce wealth. Now let me flip this idea and let me ask you this. What does it mean when we produce debt? If producing wealth confirms his covenant, what does producing debt do? Does that do? Because if I look a lot at my life, there was many years where I wasn't producing wealth, I was producing debt. I want to remind you of this convicting sentence I threw at you earlier. Too often we need more without being able to answer what we did with what we were given. Perhaps it means when we make debt instead of wealth, perhaps it means that we're not honoring God's gifts or his promise. I want to tell you that debt does not honor the gift of wealth. It is always a time-cutting method. I'm not going to save for that. I want to go into debt so I have it now. And it is not you honoring the gifts of God. We may be lusting and envious over material things. And it can get really silly. Like, my iPhone 13 is not enough for me. I need an iPhone 14. There will be an iPhone 15. I will need that as well. Right? Because I'm lusting over something that is material. I'm envious when I see anyone else have it. And I need to have that. Somehow that emotionally lifts me up and makes me feel better about myself, right? Our desires then become our reference point. Our desires are what we're looking at. You see that? We covenant with our own desire, and it produces debt. Wealth is created when we look at what we have been given by God through our gifting, what we've earned, and say, I am satisfied. I am thankful. I am grateful. That's when wealth is created. Then we save. That's when we give. Can I tell you one second? We talked about Adam's animals. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be involved with? Did that move your heart? No, wait. I'm going to tell you. Some of us, that moved our heart, but we're also like, there's no way I can give to that because I'm in debt. When you will start producing wealth, then when your heart is moved on, you will have the freedom to give like never before, to help others like never before. And that is such a blessing. Some of the most amazing people I know in life are givers. Givers. And the way they gave is they said no to material things so they could say yes to God and eternal things. Oh my gosh, I'm so focused on cheese conies that somebody was able to come up to me and needed an eternal gift that I could give, a gift that would affect their eternity in Christ. But because I was so focused on the cheese coney, I wasn't able to touch something that's eternal. You see that? No cheese coney is worth that. Then we save, then we give, and then we have wealth, not debt. So it's time to act. I've got three things for you to do today. Three things. In these last few moments, they're going to worship. We're going to have songs. If you want to worship, I want you to set yourself free to worship in this place. But here are three things I want you to think about, to pray about, to purpose in your heart. I'm doing this. Number one is this. Reference point work. I gave it to you. The financial overview, the actual monthly spending, and track your spending. Do those three things this week. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get that paper. I'm not going to lose it. If I lose it, I'm going to hassle my pastor until he gets me another one. I am going to do this. You're going to fill these out. You're going to look at your financial statements. You're going to then track your spending starting now. Number one, purpose that in your heart. If you need accountability, talk to me. I will harass you back. We'll harass each other. It'll be great. Number two, honor what you have been given. Tell God thank you in the next few moments. Some of you are in debt to your eyeballs, but you can still thank God for what you have. Take a moment. Be thankful for what you have. God, you've given me the ability to create wealth, and I thank you for that. I repent for not doing it. I'm going to change my direction right now. And then I want you to make a thank you note offering to God at some point this week. I want you to write down your thank you for what God has done for you. God, you gave me this. You gave me that job. God, you gave me the promotion. God, you gave me that sermon. God, you gave me that. And I want you to write it down and I want you to post it somewhere. And you're going to operate in thankfulness this week, all right? Operate not in hopelessness, but in thanksgiving. And then last, here it is. Receive prayer. This is too big for you. I know that feeling. So let's pray together. These altars are open right now. Why don't you come? Ask God for help and wisdom. Ask somebody to pray with you and for you. Say these words. They're embarrassing, but say them. Say, I'm in debt and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take the next step. and have someone pray with you in that moment. These altars are open right now. Come on, Dream Team. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's reach out to the Lord in these moments. I'm going to pray for everybody watching and listening online. When I open my eyes, I want to see this altar filled with people that are ready to be debt free. And they're ready to honor God with all they've been given. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody watching and listening online. I pray that hope would come alive in them and that they would make changes in their life, that they'd be seeking out God, that they'd be seeking out a reference point in their life, God. Do that work in them, Jesus. Lord, help them, God, to get those worksheets. Help them to follow through. Help them to have victory. Help them to have healing. Help them to have everything that they need, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's pray in this place. Let's worship God. We're going forward. Let's look unto Jesus right now in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.